Welcome. We are so thankful for your attendance here tonight. This is an exciting night, and it's one that these boys have been putting a lot of work into for a long time. I want to start off by reading a scripture from Mark chapter 10. It says, "And they were bringing children to Jesus so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, 'Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.' And he took the children in his arms and blessing them and was laying hands on them." Some incredible things about that passage jump out to me, but one of them is that Jesus prioritized the children. The disciples thought it was inappropriate for the children to be wasting his time, and Jesus thinks, if you think that's inappropriate, then you have a completely misguided notion of what the kingdom is all about. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, and I don't think that's just a nice pithy statement or something that you're supposed to say, aw, and then move on. I think that's actually a truth about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is seen when you're looking at a child, when you're looking at a young person. And that's why I think as a congregation, we absolutely should prioritize, if we care about the kingdom, we should care about our youngsters. We should care about those who are growing up in the kingdom. And so I am thankful to every person here who spends time encouraging, teaching, working with, helping mold, be an example to our young people. I'm thankful for Bert and for Jessica. I'm thankful for all of those who are working with Soul Train, who are doing teaching. I'm so thankful for those who are working with Lads to Leaders. Lads to Leaders, which is something that on Sunday nights a lot of our young people get together and they work on, that's a year-round thing that they dedicate time and effort to. There's a convention that they have around Easter time, but the convention is like the smallest part of the thing in my mind. I mean, it's fun for the kids and it's a great reward for them and everything, but it's the year-round growth that you see from them each taking on new responsibilities and leadership in the church. And so tonight, we are going to let them take some leadership responsibilities here in the congregation and lead in our worship service here tonight. We have three boys who will be leading: Oliver Bookout, Campbell Everett, and Jackson Tipton. They've put in a lot of time and effort, and so I'm thankful that you've been here to encourage them. And be sure, and after the service is over, come up and talk to them, encourage them, let them know how much you appreciate the work that they've been doing. The way the service will work is I will occasionally get up and say a few things here and there, but as hard as it is for me, I'm going to try to be short-winded because, and I'm blowing it right now, but because I do want it to be primarily led by them, but they will take turns leading some songs, offering prayers and reading different scriptures, and I'll offer a few comments on them here and there and an invitation. But we'll be working together. The theme that the scriptures and the songs will, by and large, center around is the love of God and the love that we should have for one another. When Jesus is asked about the greatest command, that's what he focuses on: loving God and loving one another. So as they read the scriptures, think about what they mean, think about love, and think about how we can apply them in our lives. As you hear these prayers, think about what they mean and offer them in prayer to God with them. When you hear these songs and as you sing them, think about the beauty and the simplicity of the messages that are being offered. Thank you for your attendance. Boys, you're going to do an awesome job. I'm really proud of every one of you. I'm thankful for the work that you've put in. I'm thankful for your love and your service for God, and I think you're going to have long lives of faithful service to him. And so, with no more ado, it is time for, I believe, Jackson to lead us in, to read us a scripture.
My name is Jackson. Today I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves God has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God, does not know God, because God is love. Hello, my name is Oliver Bookout. Please pray with me. Dear God, please bless this church. Help us to honor and glorify you. Help us to help people to be servants and to love like Jesus. Please help us grow and bring more people to Jesus for many years. Help us to shine like lights. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my name is Campbell Weber. Will you please stand for the next song?
Jesus loves not this, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one to
The passage that Jackson just read a moment ago was from 1 John chapter 4, and we just sang the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. And that's a beautiful way to know the love of God and to know that Jesus loves us, and that's something that should give us hope and something that should give us confidence, but it's also something that should motivate us to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4, John is writing to a people who are in need of love. They're in need of loving one another. They're in need of the community that comes from genuine, selfless, service-oriented love. He wants them to love not just in word and not just with kind sayings, but actually in deed and in truth. And as he's drawing his letter, getting nearer to its conclusion at the end of chapter 4, he gives, I think, one of the most profound and beautiful descriptions of love that there is. And it's one that, as was just read, actually connects love to the identity of God himself. When he says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. That should tell you something about what love means. I should tell you something about how vital it is. If you want God to be among you as a congregation, be a church filled with love. If you want God to be a part of your relationships with other people, make love an essential part of that relationship because God is love. That's why it says, he who loves is born of God and knows God. We often talk about the ways that we can come to know God better. And there's a lot of ways I think we can come to know God. On the one hand, you can learn facts about God, and you can kind of like come to know him in a factual way. But then you can also come to know him in an experiential way. And I think that there are ways that you can do that. I think prayer and Bible study and time spent with the community. But you know what John's answer is for how to know God? Love. When you experience love, you're experiencing God. When you experience love shared among a community of Christians, you're experiencing God within your midst. And so if you want to be nearer to God, prioritize love. And as we read more of these scriptures the rest of the night, we'll see the form that that love ends on taking. In fact, Oliver's going to read us a scripture here in just a moment, and it will describe the depth and the beauty of God's love and the form that it took.
I'll be reading Romans 5, verse 7 and 8, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Bible that teaches us about him. Thank you for his life and his example. Thank you for his love and his death on the cross. Thank you for his victory over death and over sin. Thank you for our victory, and thank you for heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand up for this next song, Jesus Loves the Little Children.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Please be seated.
The passage that Oliver just read was from Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And in this passage, Paul is discussing our justification, our hope, and our salvation. And our only hope is rooted in the love of God. If God did not love us, then God would not do what it takes to rescue us. We would, in essence, be on our own. And when it comes to doing things for other people, there are some people that you enjoy doing things for. You do it, and it makes them happy, and it makes you happy, and it's a good feeling, and that's a nice, wonderful thing. But then there are some people who it's hard to do things for. They either seem ungrateful, or you don't have a good relationship with them, or the thing costs you, and they don't deserve it. And it's much better feeling to do something good for someone who you at least feel like deserves it and will appreciate it, right? Well, when it comes to doing something for someone, that can come in different levels. It can come as, a minor helping someone, giving someone a ride or something. But Romans 5 is discussing the greatest sacrifice you could possibly offer, like giving your life for another person. And what he says is, for a righteous person, there might be some people out there, it would be rare for someone to offer their life for that person. For a good man, people have done it. People have offered their lives for others. But here is what is unique about what Jesus did. While we were still sinners, he died for us. While we were still sinners, he gave everything for us. And that's a picture and a demonstration of what God's love is. I said there are some people that it's hard to do things for. God loves us so much that even though we are sinners, he willingly and joyfully would give his life for us, or would offer his son for us. It was because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so when we read Romans 5, we're getting a picture of love. You can read a lot about love in the Bible, and the word love is used, a ton in the world around us. And it takes a lot of different shapes and forms, and a lot of people mean different things by it. But I think when you're reading the Bible, if you want a good picture of love, you look to the cross. That becomes what love is in its solid form. That's what love is as it applies to us. It's self-sacrificial, it's active, and it is rooted in what is good and best for the other person out of their relationship with God. And so as we continue these scriptures and as we continue this service, we're going to consider what that sacrifice means to God and how it is that we live it out with our next scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 5.
My name is Campbell Ever, and I will be reading Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children and walked in the way of love. And just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a offering and sacrifice to God, will you please pray with me? Dear God, you are great, you are powerful and mighty, you are strong and true, you help, you're our hope, you are our salvation, you have done amazing things. We will always help your people and praise you and lift your name up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Campbell, for that reading. And I think we saw a couple of interesting things in that verse from Ephesians. Ephesians is written, I think, primarily to a Gentile audience to welcome them into the covenant family of God, which had been considered a Jewish thing. Well, now we have like this welcome into the family type letter. And part of that letter is describing in the first three chapters how beautiful it is to be a part of this family and what it took to be a part of this family and what God has done for you to be a welcomed part of this family. But then the last couple of chapters, 4 through 6, are more telling them how to live as part of that family. When you enter a new family, that comes with responsibilities. That comes with becoming aware of the way this family does certain things. And if you're going to enter into the family of God, there's a way to do things. And what we're told in chapter 5, and this is, I think, a good summary statement of a lot of what has been said earlier, is walk in love. And if you'll do that, you're actually following the example of God. Because remember, God is love. We saw that. We saw that God demonstrates his love for us in the death of Jesus. And so now, if we want to follow that example, we should walk in love. We should be people who love one another. And as you keep reading Ephesians, he'll talk about how that applies to different relationships, like husbands, love your own wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Even in the picture of a marriage, the idea of loving like the cross, loving and giving yourself for another in the way that Jesus did, is the picture. Well, that's also the picture of what love looks like in the Christian community. And verse 2 describes the offering of Jesus as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Now, I've never witnessed a crucifixion. I don't know what the smells associated with that are, but I doubt you would describe them as a fragrant aroma and an offering that is well-pleasing. Why in the world would that be described in those terms? It's because of the love that was behind it. It's because the love that was outpoured during it. It's because God is love, and the cross is the height of the picture of love, and we are called to be a community of love for one another. And so with these things in mind, I'd like you to look into your life, and I'd like you to ask yourself, if God loves you, if God gave his son to save you, if God invites you into his loving family, have you taken advantage of that invitation? Have you taken advantage of that salvation? Have you basked in the love of God and allowed it to cleanse you and make you whole? Have you had your sins washed away in baptism? Have you named Jesus as the Lord of your life? Have you given your life to him? If we can help you do that tonight, we ask that you would let it be known and that you would come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we have our invitation song.
Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children.
This is our closing prayer. If you have not partaken of the Lord's Supper, after the closing prayer, you can exit to my left. Someone will be there to serve you. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for your creation and for the church. Thank you for our families and friendships. Thank you for Jesus, forgiveness, and eternal life. We thank you for all you do. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, boys, for your work here tonight, and thank you everyone who attended. Please come and let them know what you thought and give them your words of encouragement. I think that can mean more than you know. Thank you. Yes. Okay. We also want to make the announcement that Dina Taylor, her mother did pass away this morning, and so we want to remember Dina in her travels, but also in her family as they are experiencing and going through grief at this time.